Good morning. It's great to worship with you this morning. We're going to start a new series. You were that bored of Ephesians, huh? We're going to start actually two series. We're going to start this series this morning and go for several weeks, and then we'll join this new series in, and they're kind of hopefully going to work together. Probably going to go through September, knowing me, early October. The new text, the next two series, I think, is really going to challenge us. I hope it'll challenge us as a church. It'll help us define who we see ourselves as and where we're going. This first series, I'm kind of cheating because I said it's a new series, but it's going to be based off two verses that we read through the book of Ephesians. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. For those that are guests or new, I particularly enjoy having a book that we go through, preaching through a book, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. I think God really blesses that. And the reason I enjoy doing that is let the Bible be the Bible. This idea that when you read from God's Word, and knowing that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, that His Word is a living Word, and that God speaks through His Word. But in the summers, I tend to do more topical studies for several reasons. One, to mix things up a little bit. And two, because people are coming and going so much that it's going to be fresh and new a little bit every week. But as we do a topical study, my goal is to be as biblically based as we go through that as we can. So this series is going to break off from our other series, like I said, from the book of Ephesians. And it's two verses that as I read through them in Ephesians, I said, I hope that these two verses are going to be what defines us as a church. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. If you are a new member here, if you want to be a member, or if you're kind of just showing up and you kind of like us and you don't know about this place yet, I ask that you underline these two verses in your Bible or highlight them or print them out when you get home and put them in a place that you see them. This is going to be our two verses that this year is going to define our church. I don't ask you often to memorize verses, but my prayer for you is that these two verses will really penetrate your heart. They'll become verses that are who you are. I said it's just going to be two verses. I'm going to read a couple of verses ahead of it, but we're going to get to 20 and 21 are the two verses that this series is going to be around. Can't help myself. Ephesians 3, I'm going to start in verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with the Lord's holy people, to grasp how high and how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure, overflowing, some scriptures, some translations say, of all the fullness of God. Now verse 20. 20 and 21 is what we're going to key on. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God has been faithful to answer our prayers as a church. As I was setting this series up, and I knew I wanted to go here as we were going through the book of Ephesians chapter 3. I knew I wanted to come back here and talk about this. God has been incredibly faithful to our church. God has worked mightily through this church. And last week, without me knowing, Rebecca Graham, we were going to pray for her and send her off. And she just came up impromptu and gave a testimony about what this church has meant to her. She grew up in this church, and she talked about how worshiping with you has affected her. The lessons that she learned in Sunday school, the lessons that she learned at Vacation Bible School, is a lesson that she learned when she was a teenager here. Those things came into her heart and in her mind when she was in the military, when she was traveling about and felt completely alone. She talked about feeling alone as in nobody around her had the faith that she had. She was isolated and felt alone, except when she was praying and felt the prayers that we had directed for her. She felt her family and felt the love that we have. Even though she wasn't here, she knew that she wasn't alone. And she talked about how big of a blessing that church was to her. A few months ago, Forrest Parsons came up, who hates public speaking, who hates getting in front of people, and talked about how much this church family has meant to him. God is good. And He's done more in this church than I could have ever imagined. And I'm not saying that because I'm leaving. I noticed as I was writing this, it kind of felt like I'm going to be here for a long time, God willing, if you'll put up with me. But I'm saying that because it's true. God has blessed this church in ways that I couldn't even imagine. And I believe that we as a church need to share how God has blessed us as individuals and as a church family. We need to open up the discussion and not a pat on my back saying, look at what God did through me. That's not taking glory from Him. That's giving Him glory. And I know we're ashamed and we feel like we're puffing ourselves up when we talk about these things, but that's not it at all. We're stealing glory from God when we don't talk about the amazing things that He's doing. We need to share this. And over the next several weeks, I want to give you that opportunity. If you want to let me know if there's a way that this church has blessed you, if there's a way that God has used you in this church, don't feel ashamed. Don't be shy. Talk to me and I'd love to have you come up and share your story. God has blessed this church in missions. When I think about this church, missions is something that comes to my mind. From Water for All, which I think most of us understand what Water for All is. If you don't, I can talk to you for several hours and then get you in touch with Kim and he'll talk to you for several weeks about Water for All and tell you story after story about how amazingly God has blessed that organization. We talked about Partners in Hope this morning. And every time I think about Partners in Hope, of course I think about Matt Peacock and us supporting him. I think about the extremely hot Saturdays that we go out there and work next to him. But I really think about several people that have come in and out of this church because of Partners in Hope. The guests are the ones that I always think about. And how towards the end of their life, they were able to be in this church and worship with us before graduating into heaven. And how big of a blessing that was for them and their family. We've done many mission trips as a church. We've gone to Mexico for, I would guess, about a decade. And next week I'm going to have some pictures of us through that decade of how people have changed and grown. And it'll be fun. But the thing I loved about going to Mexico is to seeing really young people and people that aren't so young working together. Seeing creative people and engineers that think completely differently from a different person that was on the trip. Thinking about people that are extremely flexible and able to adapt, working side by side with somebody that is a planner that is really scheduled. And seeing how God gave them all different gifts and talents and they came together, and to see God work as the body of Christ is amazing. And God blessed us on those mission trips for sure. He did amazing things. The first year as I was going to Mexico and Pastor Kim was organizing the trip, I remember asking, what if it rains? And he said, it never rains in the Chihuahuan Desert. It doesn't rain, don't worry about it. So we didn't worry about it. And we get there and they are hurting for rain. It hasn't rained in a long, long time. And it was like a monsoon. I mean, it poured, and we had these tarps that we, those little garage things that, you know, you can park your car under, those kind of tarps. We had those things set up, and the wind is blowing so hard, and the rain is coming down so hard. We're holding on to this as it's trying to pick itself up, and Joey Castillo came up off the ground. It was scary, but it was fun. And it seemed like every stinking year we went to Mexico, there was a monsoon. the last year, in fact, the only year my wife got to go, were we engaged at that point or just dating? We were just dating. We start going and we don't even get to our destination. I mean, it rains like rain I've never seen in my life. We decide we have to camp in this random church that we had. I don't even know how we got there. But we get in there and it is pouring so loud on this metal roof church. I'm sleeping by these metal doors. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, these doors blow open and I'm soaking wet. It's loud. You can't even talk to the person next to you. It was crazy rain. And we decided we've got to get home. We can't even make it to our destination. We got to get home because it's flooding everywhere. And on our way home, it was road closed after road closed. This bridge washed out. We'd turn around. No, this bridge washed out. And we were fearful that we weren't going to be able to make it home. And I remember the scariest thing for me, I'm in this 15-passenger van, I got lots of kids with me, my wife, who I was dating at the time, I'd promised her mom we wouldn't go to certain places in Mexico. We had to eventually go to those places that I said we wouldn't go to because it was the only way home. But we get to this low water crossing, and it was either now or never. It was either we're going to be stuck in Mexico for who knows how long, or we go through it. And we saw a couple of cars, trucks, go through before us. And we prayed about it. And I was terrified. And we decided to go. And I remember water coming up over the hood to the windshield of the 15-passenger van. We got through there and we made it home. And the first year to the last year when we would go to Mexico, the first year that we went, when it poured down rain, we noticed after that, people listened. They thought that we brought the rain. They thought that we were the reason that the rain came, and it was like God was blessing them, and they listened, and that was really exciting to see God use us through that. I've been in this church since, I believe, 1988 or 89. I've seen God do amazing things. I've seen people accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. I've seen lots of baptisms in there. I've seen lots of baptisms in the lake. I've seen marriages happen right here. I've seen marriages healed. Relationships restored. We've celebrated many people's life who have passed away and graduated to their eternal home. Seen lots of heroes of faith grow old here. Celebrate birthdays and anniversaries. Been to a handful of 50th anniversaries and a couple of 60th anniversaries. And as we look back and to see how God has blessed this place, it's not, like I said, to pat ourselves on the back. Because we know we could have never done that. We know that it was Him that was pushing behind us. Look at all God has done. God, You've answered our prayers. And we need to thank You for that. Lord, You've been faithful to answer this church's prayers for almost 70 years. This place has been here almost 70 years. When Steiner Ranch was a ranch. You guys remember when 620 went in front of the church? Marshall Ford Road used to be 620, and you used to pray every time you drove across the dam that a big car or a big bus wasn't driving next to you because it was so narrow. Nothing here was developed, but there was a little church on the hill. And God answered our prayers for almost 70 years. And God, as a church, we want to thank You. And that's what we're going to do throughout this series, is thank God for what He has done. That You have done more, God, more than we could imagine. But God, we ask You also to do far more. As a church, we get on our knees and we ask You, God, to continue to work for us to do far more than we can even imagine. More than You did the first 70 years. I want our prayer as a church to be, God, do more. Do more through us. More than You have done. To beg God to use our church to impact this community and communities outside of this community, to impact this little area called Marshall Ford, to impact Austin, Texas, to go outside and as we're sending missionaries to bless the work that they're doing. God, use us to further your kingdom. And let it be for your glory. And it's hard to ask God to do more. You almost get this sense that you're being selfish. But that's the prayer of our church. Like I said, it seems like we're selfish and ungrateful, but scripturally we're not. I mean, if I came to you and you were in great need and I took care of your needs, say you needed help paying for a mortgage or you needed me to help you move something, and I went there and I took care of every need that you asked me to take care of, and you said, well, there's still more. It seems ungrateful, doesn't it? But it's not. It's biblical. I'm going to need more. Now to him who was able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, and we're lucky with this, that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So we thank God for what he has done. And as like I said, we go through this series, I want to give you the opportunity to do that in the next several weeks. If you have a testimony, come talk to me. I'd love to hear it. I'd love for you to be able to share it to the church. And I'll be the first one to start. For those that don't know me, I grew up in this church as a very energetic, attention-seeking, rebellious kid. I was invited to this church by Brandon Hughes. His parents came here. His father was the head of deacons, I believe, when he invited me here. I was either 8 or 9. Brandon is still an amazing friend of mine. We talk quite a bit on the phone. I started coming to church here, and I got into a lot of trouble as a kid and as a teenager. I did a lot of really stupid things, things that you're not supposed to do at church. I honestly have been amazed that I wasn't asked to not come back a couple of times. I could tell you stories, but for my credibility as a pastor and to save face a little bit, I'll just have to ask you to believe me. There's a couple of people that know some of the stories. But sitting right in that pew, I felt God calling me, and I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I was baptized in this church. I took the Lord's Supper for my very first time in this church. I was called to the youth ministry in this church as a freshman in high school, and I preached my first sermon here as a freshman in high school, and it was terrible. It was about the 7 woes. It wasn't good. And I was blessed enough to work with the youth in the Lake Travis area for 14 years. This church has blessed me with more mentors than I can count. People that have come in my life and not only taught me things that I still have today, but shown me. Some are still here, and many have moved, and some have moved permanently home. As a youth pastor, I thought I would be a youth pastor until I was 70 years old. I thought I would be forever young. I never wanted to be a pastor, and that's a true story. I was terrified of the pressure that it would put on my kids and my wife. I didn't want that for my family, but God has other plans. God called me to be here this morning, and I thank God for his blessings in my life, for his answering of prayers in many ways that went far beyond what I could even imagine. For him providing me the most amazing wife to support me in this ministry that has a heart for this community, one that fills in the gaps that I leave behind, and there are a lot. I can go on and on how God has blessed me and my family and now my kids in this church. It's like they have 15 other parents and grandparents. And God, we thank you for that. I thank you for that. But let's keep going. God, let's do more, far more than what we have done. And the challenge to us as a congregation, as brothers and sisters in Christ, is to not get complacent. God, we want more. We want you to use us. This community desperately needs us and you in us. I believe this is a critical moment in our church. Because today, and I think the next several weeks, we're going to ask God to do far more than we can even imagine. Do far more than what God has already done in this church that has been here since the 50s. But we're ready for more. And we have to do our part. We are a church that is passionate about Jesus Christ. And if you feel like you have lost that passion, there are people to your left and to your right that would love to pray with you, that would love to encourage you to get into your Word, that would love to walk side by side with you to renew that passion of Christ. Let us pray for you. Let us encourage you. So here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to pray for the passion of our church. We're going to pray for God to do more. And we're not going to do it just this morning. We're not going to do it just this week. We're going to continue to pray this. God, do more through us. God, continue to bless us as we do your work. So I'm going to give us a time of silence. If you feel led to pray aloud, pray aloud. If you want to pray where you are silently, I encourage you to do that. Pray for our passion for our church, for the passion of the lost in our church. Pray for God to use us in ways that we can't even imagine to His glory. Let's pray.
Lord, teach us as we gather here each Sunday, the church family, your family, to receive the word through our Pastor Scott each and every week, during the week. And as a young man, we're watching him grow up in this church, we're watching him marry, and now growing up a family.
Amen. I want you guys to commit to continue to pray about this throughout the next several days, next several months. Because I don't believe that we can get comfortable with God's past victories in our lives. We give Him glory and we thank Him for them. But never get comfortable that we never rest on God's past victories in our lives. We constantly strive forward. I believe when we lose passion, when we get comfortable with where we are, apathy sets in. And the church becomes a shell of what it once was. I believe one of Satan's greatest tools against the church is to steer the church into apathy. I've seen the enemy destroy the church in three main ways. And the first way is through division. We've talked a lot about unity versus division and how it can be from a deacon and a pastor arguing or a member and the worship leader arguing, and it just divides the church. We've seen that happen church after church after church. There's so many stories in church history about that. But the second way I feel like the enemy attacks a church is on a more sneaky way. A way that gets us to slow down, to steady, go into a steady decline because of complacency. And really the third one, we're not going to talk about it at all, is moral failures from somebody in leadership and how the church responds to that. But we're looking at the second one, the one where the enemy is kind of slowly attacking us by allowing us to get complacent on the past things that God has done. Jesus, when He was teaching, he taught a lot in parables. And one of my favorites is the parable of the sower, because it really encompasses a lot. Jesus is asking, how will we respond to the word of God? He says, some will hear it, and the enemy will immediately snatch it away from them. So the second person will hear it, and it'll start to grow, but then persecution will come, and the sun will come, and it'll scorch it. But the third person who hears, persecution will come. It'll keep growing, but then it gets choked out by weeds. It dies a slow death. In Luke chapter 8, verse 14, it'll be on the screen. Luke 8, 14. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. What Jesus is showing this group is it's not an attack that gets us down. It's more this lulls us into sleep. And the past success or comforts, the past victories, and their complacency. If Satan can't defeat you with a difficult circumstance, a lot of times his next way is for us to be complacent. There's no better example of that than what happened with King David, with Bathsheba. I think most of us have grown up in the church to understand this story that King David is on top of his roof and sees a beautiful naked woman bathing. He asks his men to go get her. He finds out that she's married. He doesn't care. He sleeps with her and she becomes pregnant. And from that one sin, from that one act, his life was never the same. David's life was radically changed after that day. He repented, but his life was never the same. The rippling effect from that one sin resulted in four of his sons dying. Ultimately, it played a role in the division of the Israelites. And we'll see how Satan accomplished this. They're going to put this up on the screen. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. Chapter 11, verse 1, and I'll show you more in verse 2. But in the spring, which was the time where the kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroy the Amorites and besiege Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. It's a telling verse. Where was he supposed to be? He was supposed to be at war. He was supposed to be on the battlefield, but David was not where he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be leading the battle, but he sent Joab instead. And look what the enemy does in verse 2. Look at how the enemy works here in verse 2. one evening, David got up from his, depending on your translation, it either says couch or his bed. And walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. I remember Matt Carter preaching a sermon on this, and it really helped me understand what was going on. David was supposed to be leading his troops in battle. And one evening, instead of leading his troops in battle, he was literally relaxing in his bed. Or his couch, depending on your translation. And you know the rest of the story. And as we have studied David, we have seen that David didn't get taken out by fighting a lion or a bear as a shepherd boy. David didn't even get taken out as a teenager against a giant. He didn't get taken out by his best friend's dad who tried time and time again to kill him. He got taken out one night by relaxing. I assume he was bored out of his mind. He was in the comfort of his own palace, had his feet propped up. He was resting in God's past victories of his life. I believe we're in a place as a church. And if I'm looking biblically, I think that if Satan has victory, it's not going to be because of persecution. We have had that before. We've lost lots of amazing people to sickness, to cancer. We've lost children. I can tell you story after story how this church has gone through incredibly difficult times. And I've seen the church grow stronger because of it. But the enemy can infect us when we're comfortable with our past victories. When we're comfortable with what God has done and we get complacent. A lot of times when we first start walking with Christ, we have this passion, this fire within us. And sometimes along the way, passion can get choked out by the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the pleasures of this life. So this series, I'm asking you, if you are relaxing on the couch, if you're relaxing in bed and you know who you are, you don't even have to question yourself. You know whether you're there or not. I'm asking you to get up and get in the game. And if you're in the fight, if you're in the battle, I'm going to pray that you keep on keeping on. That God continues to bless you and continues to use you in your workplace, in the grocery store, in your home. In this series, we're going to ask some difficult things of you. But if we want to see Marshall Ford as Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21, we've got to pray for these things. We've got to step out in faith. We have to shake complacency and get in the game. And you might be asking yourself, will my investment be worth it? If I get off the couch, if I start sacrificing for Jesus, will my investment, will my involvement be worth it? Listen to what Paul has to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that He has raised Christ from the dead. He did not raise Him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. If Jesus had not been resurrected, I am wasting my time with you. If Jesus was still in the ground, and I'm saying you need to give more of your time, more of your energy, more finances to the things that He wants you to do. And if He's still in the ground, we are to be the most pitied people around. But look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Amen. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Look at verse 58. The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God that He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully. Always give yourself fully to the works of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. God is good. God has been good. God has blessed us in ways that we need to share with one another. And we need to thank Him for that. But God, let's do more. God, we beg You to do more. God, work through us as individuals and work through us as a church to be Your hands and Your feet to this community. Let's get excited to do more. Let's get excited to raise the level of expectations that we have for God to use us. And the fun thing that we get to do is every Sunday we get to come back here and give Him glory for it. We get to say that God did this. God did this through me. God did this through us. And we give You glory, God, but we're not going to grow complacent. Let's keep going. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. Lord, we're thankful that our eternity is sealed because of what You did on the cross. If You are our Lord and Savior, God, that has been taken care of. Lord, that we are Your children, Your adopted children. God, we thank You for all of that that has to do with eternity. But God, we're also thankful for the ways that You are blessing us now, the ways that You have blessed us in the past. God, we thank You that You designed us to do Your will. And Lord, that You have done that through us. But God, we pray for more. We pray that You use us more. We pray that we are able to get up off the couch, Lord, to not be complacent, but to continue to thrive towards what You have for us. Lord, I pray for a new chapter for this church. God, a new, renewed passion to go out and to do Your work, to do Your will. Lord, I pray for those that feel like they're in the center of Your will and they're in the middle of the battle. God, I pray that You encourage them. I pray that this church encourages them. I pray that they're fed. And for those that have relaxed, God, that they know that they're supposed to be in the middle of this war that we talked about in Ephesians, God, but there's a complacency that's set in, God. We pray that You soften their hearts, Lord. We pray that You give them passion for the lost. Give them passion for being in the center of Your will for their lives. Lord, and I pray that we as a church continue to strive towards that. Lord, to always be thankful for what You have done and are doing, but never grow complacent. God, always expect You to do more and more because that's what You do. And we have the fun job of giving You the glory for all of that. And the only reason we get to pray this is because of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Stand with joy hands across the aisle. Let's sing again, God, my friend.